Well, today I'll begin by asking a simple question. Could God count on you to raise his child? Now, of course, this is not something we have to worry about, but this was the reality for two very important people, Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary and Joseph are perhaps some of the most iconic figures in the Bible. But unfortunately, history has not been kind to them. Though people throughout history have loved these two individuals, much of what is said about them is made up. But this happens to every important figure in history, every individual who has helped shape our world the way it is. Take George Washington, for example. One of the first things I learned about him as a child was that he was the first president of our United States, and he had wooden teeth. Of course, this is a myth. He never had wooden teeth. He had teeth made from gold, iron, sometimes other people's teeth, sometimes animal teeth, sometimes carved animal bone, but he never had wooden teeth. I was also taught at a very young age that he chopped down his father's cherry tree, and he could not lie about it. He confessed to his father, "I cannot tell a lie. I cut down the cherry tree." Of course, this is a myth too. The same goes with Nero. It is said that he fiddled while Rome burnt down. Of course, this is impossible because the fiddle did not exist during the time of Nero. Marie Antoinette is said to have quipped when she found out her people was starving, "Let them eat cake." Of course, she never said that. Take Betsy Ross. It is said that she made the first United States flag with the 13 stars representing the 13 colonies. Of course, there's no evidence that she made this flag. This story did not come out until the 1870s. And unfortunately, many strange things are also believed about Mary and Joseph, especially about Mary. Mary is seen as one who is immaculate conceived, born without original sin. Of course, we, as members of the Church of Christ, believe no one is born with original sin, but for those who do, they believe that Mary was made in a special way, and because of this, she never sinned her entire life. It is also believed that she remained a virgin perpetually. Well, you may be wondering, well, what about Jesus' brothers and sisters in Scripture? Well, they have excuses to get around that. It is also believed that she never died, that she ascended into heaven, and she is the Queen Mother, the Queen of the universe. And it is thought that if you pray to her, she can convince her son to do what you want because, of course, he would listen to his mother. It is also believed that she is the co-redemptrix, that she played an important part in our salvation. Of course, these things aren't said about Joseph. Although Joseph is given unusual praise, there are even churches dedicated to him. But these myths do not concern us. What matters to us is what God says about these individuals. And as we see from what we're about to study today, the Scriptures paint a very different story about these people, although they are indeed very great. So if you will turn over with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 23. And we'll read the passage, and we'll go from there. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you.' But she was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of his father Jacob, and his kingdom will have no end.'" We'll go ahead and read just a little bit more. "Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I'm a virgin?' The angel answered and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she will also, was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Gabriel is one of two angels named in the Bible. Now we read that there are thousands and even perhaps millions of angels, but only two are mentioned by name. This Gabriel appears that we know of four times in the Bible, twice in Daniel, in Daniel 8:16. His job was to appear to Daniel and help him understand his vision of future empires. We also see in Daniel 9:21, he gives Daniel a message about the coming Messiah and many important things. He appears in Luke chapter 1 to and Luke 1:19 to a man by the name of Zacharias, a man who has a wife who is in old age and is barren. And he tells him that she will have a child. And now he appears to Mary in the region of Galilee, in a city of Nazareth, if it would be appropriate to call it a city. It's more of what we would think of a small village. Even in the pages of God's word, this place was seen as insignificant. We see in John chapter 1, verses 45 through 46, that it says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? This place was in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing special about it, except this woman named Mary, who was engaged to a man by the name of Joseph. Now, we know very little about these two individuals. We only know a few things. We know that Joseph was a carpenter from Matthew chapter 13, verse 35. And we know that Mary was likely young. One of the only things we know about her is that she also was in the line of David like Joseph, and she was related to Elizabeth. We also know that they were very poor by the sacrifices that they offered in Luke chapter 2, verse 24. When a person would come to God and they were to offer a sacrifice, so sometimes there were options to which sacrifices they were allowed to offer. If they were more wealthy, they could offer an ox. If they were a little less wealthy, they could offer a sheep. But if they were poor, they could offer two pigeons or two turtle doves. And as we see, they picked the poorer option because they could not afford anything else. By most people's standards, they were practically nobody. There was nothing special about these individuals. Practically nobody important seemed to know who they were. But God does not select his people based off how rich they are, how poor they are, whether they're male or female or the color of the skin, but by their heart. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, Samuel is trying to select a king for Israel. And we see that Samuel is looking for the man who's tall, who's strong, the one who looks like a king. And God made it clear that he was not looking at man from the outward appearance, but from the inside. And that's why he chose Mary and Joseph. And he sends this angel to Mary. We see, beginning in verse 28, he sends this angel and he gives her a very fancy greeting. He says, greetings, O favored one. God is with you. Now, Mary is very perplexed that she would receive such a greeting. She is clearly very humble in nature. She does not feel entitled to this praise. She does not think too highly of herself. Yet this angel appears to her and says that she is a favored one, and God is with her. Not only that, he gives her big news. She will bear a son, and his name will be called Jesus. Although the angel's probably speaking Aramaic, because that's probably what Mary is speaking, so he probably gave her the Aramaic version or the Hebrew version of Jesus, Yeshua, meaning the Lord is salvation, or the Lord saves. This is the same name given to Joshua. And many people of Mary's day named their boys this very special name to mimic the great war hero, or in the hope of this coming Messiah. And some probably even named their boys this name in the hope that their son might be the Messiah. But it would not be their son, it would be Mary's son. And this Christ would be the one to bring about the salvation of God. The angel said that he would reign over the house of David. Clearly not in a literal sense. He would not have borders that would span from Dan to Judah, but he would be king over all, over everything. And his kingdom would have no end, as predicted by the prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. But Mary points out the obvious. She is a virgin. How could she have a son? She is a chaste young lady. She has committed herself to her future husband, to whom she is now engaged. She does not understand what this angel is talking about. Now, I should note, it does not appear that she's doubting the angel, because we see what happened in Luke chapter 1 when Zacharias found out that his wife was pregnant, even though she was very old and even though she was barren. He said, well, how can she have a child? And the angel struck him mute, and he was not allowed to speak until his child was born. Now, Mary, when she's asking this question, she doesn't seem to be doubting God. She simply does not understand how this is going to happen. But as we see, the angel points out that this would come through the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, and thus he will be called the Son of God. God himself created man out of the dust of the earth, and he created woman from a rib. And he has given children to many barren women all throughout Scripture, such as Sarah, Hannah, and most recently, Elizabeth. God does not need help. Now, I want to choose my words carefully. Creating a child. I'm not saying Jesus was created, but the body that he would inhabit was created. Now, one of the most impressive parts about this entire chapter, at least in my opinion, is Mary's reaction. Notice what she says, "Behold the bond slave of the Lord." She's talking about herself. "May it be done according to your word." Now, why is this statement so important? Well, we know that Mary is likely very young. We don't know her exact age, but we know that she could be as young as 13 or 14 years old. And in light of her young age, she's willing to take on this important task. Not raising any child, but raising the long-awaited Messiah, the most important man in human history. Now, those who have served God have always led very difficult lives. Think about Moses, David, or Jeremiah, or Ezekiel. These men served God, and many times they suffered in the process. And we know that the early stages of this child's life would be filled with drama and threat. Both Mary and Joseph would have to avoid the wrath of Herod the Great. And not only that, this child would eventually suffer throughout his life. And how much would Mary suffer in the process? Not only that, she was not married. Now, I want to explain something right quick. When we think of someone being engaged, we typically think of it as an extended dating period. It's very different than how they did things. For example, someone in our day, if they're engaged, they can simply call off the engagement. But in their day, when a person was engaged, they signed a legal contract as though they were legally married. They were not technically married, but they were seen as though they were legally married. However, except the marriage was not yet consummated. So what is this going to say about Mary when she shows up pregnant and she has not yet been with Joseph? Now, we have a very different culture than the kind of culture that Mary was living in. According to statistics today, about 40% of women in the United States have children out of wedlock. This would have been unheard of in Mary's day. everyone waited till they were married to have kids. Now, in our society, this is something, at least for most people, they overlook, but not in Mary's society. If she was to turn up pregnant now, she would incur shame. And not, this is not a shame that you get over in a few months or a year or a few years down the road. This is a shame you carry with you your entire life. And not just for you, but for your entire family. But Mary, she did not care. She did not care what other people would say. She did not care what other people would think. She did not care if people talked, and we know people do talk. Word travels quickly. I don't even trust secrets anymore. If you want to keep something secret, just don't tell anyone. It's very hard to hide things, especially a pregnancy. But Mary, she did not care. She did not care if she'd be tasked with dealing with the pressure of raising the most important figure in human history. She did not care if she would have to face terrible trials to accomplish God's will. She said, I am the doula, the female slave of God. Now, slavery is not something we think fondly of in our society for a good reason. We have a nation that, for the most part, respects our personal liberties. And we like the idea that we get to determine our own destiny. We don't like to conform, you know, our will to anyone else's. But as Christians, we should not have that attitude toward God. And Mary, as a servant of God, she did not hesitate to submit herself fully to God's will. Now, what about Joseph? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And let's look at verses 18 through 19. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, was not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Now, we often think about what Mary had to go through in reference to conceiving this holy child. But let's think about the dilemma Joseph was faced with. Joseph was engaged to this woman. How well he knew her, we don't know. We know, and often in these societies, a person often goes their entire engagement without actually sitting down and having a conversation with them. But he had an expectation of who he was to marry. The same way we do in our society, although our society, we do it a little differently. Typically, we date a few individuals, and eventually, we come across someone who we're compatible with, someone we think highly of. And eventually, and as we go on this dating process, we begin to shape our future around them. Maybe even pick out baby names. Maybe even pick out where you want to live or what you want the rest of your life to be like. But unfortunately, many of us have met an individual like this. And then we realize the person we're with is not the person we thought they were. Sometimes they lead a double life. Sometimes they only show you one side of who they are. And then everything comes out and you realize the person you thought you knew didn't exist at all. Now we know Mary is a great woman. She is a great young lady. But Joseph finds out that she is pregnant. Now, of course, what else is he to think? We can imagine that he's upset, that he's hurt, maybe even angry. But in light of that, he was not willing to let anyone else know. He decides to put her away privately. This is their business. He's not going to tell everyone how he has been wrong. He's thinking about just doing a very, very quiet divorce. And when I say divorce, it's just dissolving the engagement. And he's just going to put it all behind him. But thankfully, he gets a message. Turn with me to verses 20 through 23.
But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken of by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Thankfully, this message gets to him, and he realizes that Mary is a virgin. She has not done anything wrong. But she is not just any virgin. She is the virgin that was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. Now I'm going to get a little off track because I want to make a point right here. There's a particular person I listen to on YouTube who's a political commentator, and he's very intelligent, and he's a practitioner of Judaism. Now he doesn't push his faith on anyone, but often when people ask him why he does not accept Jesus as the Messiah, he says, well, it's inconsistent with Jewish philosophy and Jewish text to say that God can become man. Of course, I'm not sure how he gets past all the theophanies, the physical manifestations of God in the Old Testament. But there's one passage I want to look at to sort of answer this while we're on this subject. If you will turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. And the prophet Isaiah said, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David, and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold justice and righteousness. Even 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah knew that this child would be a manifestation of God. He is called Mighty God and Eternal Father. And therefore, we can say that the Christian idea of Jesus is consistent with the Old Testament scriptures. And this is something that Joseph and Mary would get to take part in. Now, Joseph too would be faced with the task of raising the most important figure in human history. In the early stages of this child's life, Joseph would live in fear of his life, having to flee the country to protect him. But Joseph was not deterred. Read with me verses 25 through 26. Verses 24 through 25. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph and Mary did not hesitate to do God's will. And that's what made them special. Now, before we conclude today, I would like us to ask ourselves two questions. Why did God choose Mary and Joseph to raise his child? Well, for one, they were living pure lives. Their intentions were to please God. Their intentions were on things that were set above, not on this earth. Two, we see that they were selfless. They were not concerned about what they desired out of life, but how they could please God and how raising this child could bring about God's salvation. And as we see plainly, they were completely obedient to God's will without hesitation. Now, there are a lot of great men and women in Scripture, but how often did they hesitate to do God's will? Think about Moses, for example. When God came to him in the appearance of a burning bush, God said, I want you to go save your people. Moses was like, no,
probably need to find someone else. And God's like, no, 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 I'm going to help you out. It'll be okay. And Moses is like, no, I really would prefer it if you find someone else. Think about Gideon. Gideon was tasked with fighting the Midianites. And Gideon, his faith was very, very weak. And so he went to God. He's like, well, God, could you give me a sign? And God gives him a sign. And Gideon's like, well, I appreciate this. Well, could I get one more sign? And God's like, okay, here's another sign. But we don't see this attitude with Mary or Joseph. Mary, who is a virgin, is told she's going to receive a child. She's like, okay, let's do it. Joseph is told he's going to marry someone who's going to have a child that is not going to be his. Joseph is like, okay, let's do it. Because they were more determined to obey God than to do what was convenient for them. Now, of course, do we have to ask, we should ask ourselves, are we sometimes hesitant to do God's will? When we see something that needs to be done, do we hesitate? Do we have to work ourselves up? Do we have to find courage deep down within ourselves to do what he asked us to do? Or do we do it as if it was second nature? As if it was something that was ingrained in us, like it is in Mary and Joseph? Now, of course, the final question should be is, would God trust us to raise his child? Could God count on us like he could count on Mary and Joseph? And of course, if the answer is no, I think that's something we needed to consider, something that we need to work on. And of course, the first step to being more like Mary, more like Joseph, is being obedient to the will of God. And the first step is becoming a Christian. If there is anyone here today who is not yet a Christian, and you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess that he is the Christ, we would love to baptize you. And through that, Christ will forgive you of all of your sins and add you to his church. And if there's anyone here who was once obedient to God's will but is no longer walking in a manner pleasing to God, we would love to pray for you. And God certainly will forgive you. If there's anything we can do for you spiritually, please come forward as we stand and sing.